Cleaning Nation, welcome to another episode of the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. As always, I want to start by telling you that you are amazing. Thank you for being the best fans slash community slash group in the whole wide world. We exist and do this show only because of you and your awesomeness. If and when you stop showing up, I'll stop showing up as well. So thank you for being so fantastic. Today, we are talking with Avery Whaley from Simply Green Cleaning. Simply Green has been serving the Sherwood, Oregon area with residential cleaning services for the last 5 years. If you want to reach out to Avery and his team, you can hold them at www.simplygreencleanings.com. Avery, welcome to the show.
Mike, what's going on, man? Good to be here.
Glad to have you, my friend. For everyone on the podcast, usually it's just my stupid face looking back at you on the YouTube. Avery's came on video. So if you want to see, and he's actually slightly better looking than me, that kind of pisses me off. I should have told Natalie, like, only people not as good looking as me on the show, or good looking women are fine, but dudes, like, come on, be cool, Natalie. So if you want to see Avery in all his glory, check out the YouTube channel. You will find he and I both staring back at you dumbly as opposed to just me. So that'll be good. All right. So what's shaking in your world, man? You've been doing this for 5 years. What's your background? How did you get in the cleaning business?
Yeah. So I was in the Air Force about 5 years ago, and my wife started up a cleaning business. And after I got out, we moved to the Portland, Oregon area, and it just got too big for her to manage on her own. So we went into business together and, just ended up taking it over, and she's a full-time stay-at-home mom now with our two girls, and which is something we've been working towards for a long time. That's how I ended up here. So
wait, she had a cleaning business. She couldn't handle on her own. You went in to help and then just flat kicked her out. And now you have a cleaning business and she's staying home with the kids.
That's right.
I don't know if she's a genius or you're a jerk or some combination of her, like, I'll just do it poorly and then he'll come in and I'll be like, I don't know, this is hard. You're like, just go home. And so I don't know how that worked, but I think she got the better of you, frankly.
Yeah, I think she did. I would agree with that.
She's probably at home going, you know how much work these two kids are, you jerk? How dare you?
Hey, man, she's got the hardest job, that's for sure.
If not the hardest, certainly the most important. I always tell my bride that I do what I do to support the family, right? Without her and the baby, my 19-year-old, he's on his own. Screw him. But the baby, you know, we got to feed that kid.
Yeah. All right.
Cool. So I like that. For the short time that you worked together, was that cool or was that like, nope, one of us is going to die or get out of here because this ain't working?
Yeah. So we probably worked hand in hand for about, I'd say, 3 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it was great. There was definitely, I would say for the first couple of months, it was a little bit rocky, but once we delegated roles, you know, she did her thing, I did mine. We all kind of worked together. We weren't stepping on each other's toes. I think was huge with, you know, being in business with your significant other. It was awesome, man. Really great. I think we spent a lot of time, more time than a lot of other couples get to do. So very fortunate for that.
That's a cool way to look at it, man. All right. Well, I am officially on board. I am a Simply Green fan. How can I help today, my friend?
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. So, we've been in the business residential cleaning industry for about 5 years now, and just recently came across your podcast about a week ago. And the thought of commercial never, you know, to actually transition never really came to mind. But, we've got a few people who've reached out to do commercial stuff, you know, stuff that's probably a little bit bigger than we could handle with our residential cleaning experience. But, 5 years in, I wanted to find out what your thoughts are on, transitioning over to commercial and what that looks like, because I would ideally like to sell my company. And from the research I've done, it just doesn't seem like residential is as easy to sell per se as commercial, because you got the contracts and stuff like that. And you can correct me if I'm wrong on that, but looking for something that would be that I could build and sell, and if it even makes sense at this point in the game for us.
That's a really good question. And most of the time, I've got strong opinions and like a big mouth, and this is the right answer, and just shut up and do it. Right now, you kind of wander into a gray area. So I'm going to give you my thoughts and my feedback, but this isn't one of those, like, certain things are just right. Like, don't lie, cheat, and steal in business. You'll do better. That's just right all the time. Now you're asking a question that's kind of a gray area. So I'm going to give you some thoughts, but it'll be more thoughts than coaching. Is that okay?
Yeah, no, that's perfect.
Okay. So in the experience I have, and I've only sold one cleaning company, but I've sold several companies, And I've walked some people through starting and transitioning out. So I'd say I know, certainly I wouldn't say I'm an expert on selling or valuations of commercial versus valuation or commercial versus residential valuation, but I'd say I know more than the average bear. That said, I don't know that I would value a commercial cleaning company higher because the contracts that they have are still month to month. So okay. I shouldn't say they have well north of 90% of my customers have only month-to-month clients, and the only time you have annual clients or annual contracts is if there's a significant capital investment. Like, hey, this is a $30,000 a month contract. I'm going to spend $500,000 on equipment to put in your facility. I'm not going to do that unless you sign a contract that's long, and even then, I can't make you let me into your building every day. So even that contract's breakable. So I don't know that, and if you've been doing research, like I said, I'm not saying this is the truth. You know, I didn't go up to Mount Sinai and come down with the one commandment on residential versus residential, but I would disagree that in that commercial inherently trades for a higher multiplier than residential. I'd almost disagree because if I'm looking to buy, commercial is generally fewer larger accounts. So if I buy and one or two big accounts go, I'm like, hey, I just paid for that account that just quit. Whereas with residential, so it, some guys and gals have companies that they'll have, you know, one contract be 20-30% of their revenue, which always makes me terrified. I have no interest in buying that. Or if I do, it's going to be a severely discounted rate. Whereas the likelihood of 20-30% of your residential customers leaving in 1 month is, you know, unless there's a huge economy thing, this is just not going to happen. So I don't know that I would agree with that statement. The one thing I would agree with is it is very hard to build a multi-million dollar residential cleaning company. So obviously a $5 million company is going to trade for a better price than a $500,000 company. So that's the one caveat. That said, do you have an idea of how much you would like to or need to sell for?
You know, we don't have a number right now. I just know that, no.
Okay. So that's a pitfall. A lot of people, usually what it looks like is I got to get bigger. I want to grow 50% this year. I want to grow 100% this year. Great. Why? For what? How do you want your life to be better? I don't know. I just got to grow. We don't want that, right? We want to know, like, do we want $1 million company or a $5 million company or a $10 million company, and why, right? How much revenue do we want that to make? Because a lot of times people will get to that $3 million company and be like, I hate this job. I make 10% more than when I was an $800,000 company, but I work seven times as much and I hate it. Right. And I don't want you to get there. So step one would be to have a conversation with the lovely Mrs. Whaley and get together, like, why do we want to sell and how much do we want to sell for? Because we're going to reverse engineer a company that meets that criteria. So I wouldn't just say commercial's better, we're going to commercial. That I would definitely not do that, because starting from zero, which is what you'd be doing on a commercial, or trying to add, and I don't like to add. I really think that'll stunt your growth if you're like, we're going to add and we're going to do this. And you might get an unsophisticated buyer that's like, oh, we do residential and commercial. But most sophisticated buyers are going to go, hold on, let's be really good at one thing, as opposed to, hey, we're really a residential customer that does a couple commercial clients, or vice versa. Yeah, so if I woke up in your shoes, in time frame, when you say you want to sell today, a year from now, 10 years from now, before you die?
I'd say probably in the next 3 to 5 years. That's what I'm thinking. So, and that's, you know, and is it even possible to be able to, I mean, what is, how fast can you build a commercial business to, you know, to be able to sell, you know, let's say $1 million company, is that, you know, how long is that? 'Cause I've never done commercial, so I don't know. That's another question that could open up another can of worms, but, you know, just, I'm not sure what that even looks like.
So if I woke up in your shoes, and I don't want to get into private data, but just give me an idea size-wise, how many employees do you have so we all kind of know about where you're at?
6 employees right now.
Full-time, part-time?
Full-time.
Okay. So I got to imagine that puts $200,000 to $400,000 range somewhere in there. Is that a fair?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Again, we don't need details, but there's a big difference between a company doing $50,000 a month and $500,000 and $5 million. So that, right. that gives us some scope. Okay. If I woke up where you're at, I think in your Sherwood, Oregon, how big of a community is that?
It's about 30,000 people. There's a lot of surrounding areas, though, in the Portland metro.
Okay, so do you serve Portland as well?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so there's, I mean, all in all, there's probably about a little over 2 million people in the Portland metro area.
Okay, so that's a big, yeah, I wanted to make sure you weren't like, oh, no, we're an hour and a half from Portland. We don't serve that. And I'm, okay. Right. So I'm not saying this is the right answer. I'm just, sometimes I can't coach with like, this is the right answer. I can only coach with, if I woke up in your shoes, here's what I would do. If I woke up in your shoes and I've got a nice little, and are you profitable? Again, I hate to get nosy, but it's important stuff.
Okay. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Good.
So if you're, and to me, profitable in the residential cleaning is 15 to 25% net profit. Is that a fair?
We're definitely profitable.
Okay. Better than that's fine. worse than that, we got to talk. That's a different conversation. All right. So if you're doing 20% or better, which is great, and you're not cleaning, correct? Your folks are cleaning?
Occasionally. Yeah. You know, it's, I'll jump in on big jobs and stuff, but for the majority of the part, I'm just, you know, moving the pieces around, putting out fires.
Okay. If I woke up in your shoes, I would probably, because I don't, I found for whatever reason that the 250 is where, that's where the transition is. It's kind of hard for people to get past that. And it's hard for anyone to get past, even in an area like Portland. Like if you're in a smaller neighborhood, I might go, gosh, it might be harder for you to grow. But in Portland, you know, gosh, if you built a 600,000 to 800,000, I think that would be, not that it's impossible to grow larger, but that's the low hanging fruit. So if I woke up in your shoes and I wanted to sell and I want to do commercial, I would not simultaneously try and start a commercial company and run mine, which is the fun thing to do, right? Like, oh, this is, sounds like, and I'm putting words in your mouth, so feel free to correct me if I misspeak for you. Sounds like, hey, I'm running this, we're making money, it's growing, you know, 10, 15, not exciting growth, but some growth. We're making money. I'm a little bit bored. Might be fun to add in some commercial. Any truth to that, or did I totally just make it up?
I would say that's about right.
Okay. And I've tried, the reason I can identify, I've been there. I have a car dealership. You know, it'd be super fun if we did this or that or whatever. And financially, I found that that's not the way to go. So if, and again, you're a business owner, if you're like, this is what I want to do and this will make me happy, God bless you, right? Like you're in charge. So I can only be like, hey, here's what I found works from a financial standpoint. But if you just got to scratch that itch somehow, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But if I woke up in your shoes, knowing what I know, having bought and sold probably more than my share of businesses, I would spend the next 12 to 18 months preparing this company for sale. And when we do that, I'm talking, make it super profitable, get the books in line, every dollar. So someone, you know, goes in there and QuickBooks and wants to like drill down on everything, like every single dollar. So keep that profitability high, get the growth up a little, like, you know, get to your 20% growth, identifying where those growth is or where that growth is from. So instead of just going, we grow, because I've sold enough businesses to know that the things that they want is one, books. They want clean, clean, clean books. And then two, when you can go to them and go, here are our seven lead sources and here's how much they cost per month per each. And this one generally over the last 12 months has brought in 17 inquiries and we did four bids and that got three accounts. And then you have that for all of your lead sources. That will skyrocket the value. And you got to stop cleaning. People don't want to buy a job. So when I say prepare for sale, that's what I mean. Not just be like, all right, call the banker and be like, we got some money coming in. Get ready for it. Like that's what you prepare is get your books in line. You stop cleaning, get your client acquisition documented. So you can tell them, here's exactly how we grow. And I'd probably try and grow, you know, 20, 30% in the next year. And I'd put that bad boy up for sale. And I would take the proceeds from that and start a commercial cleaning business.
Okay. Cool.
So again, not the right answer, not the only answer, just my answers. That's how I do it. If you pushed me, just because I don't ever want to dodge your question, you said no, but that's not what I want. I want to absolutely transition from residential to commercial. I'd say don't do it because now you're going to be working 24/7, right? Because you'll have 8 to 5 residential out and selling commercial jobs and then 5 right. to midnight or whatever, or 5 to 5, right? If you start taking restaurants and stuff, now you're 365 days you're on all the time, which is the worst. So I'm not a fan of that. So I tell you, all right, hopefully your wife doesn't like you because you're not going to see her anymore. But if you said, great, fine, dummy, but just shut up and tell me how to do this, I would definitely, similar process in terms of we've got to get you out of cleaning. If you're cleaning, we can't, you don't have the time. So I, right. instead of sell it, get it to be where like, hey, this is my part-time job. I spend 20 hours a week with this tops, really 10 to 20 hours. It runs itself. It's cranking out money. If I leave it for a year, it's going to continue at least staying the same, right? Get it to that position and then be like, okay, now instead of selling it, I'm going to buy it. I'm going to be the investor that now owns this asset as opposed to a operator that's trying to operate this business and start that business.
Gotcha.
So if you had to do it, that's how I do it, is try and automate as much as possible on the first and then just, and please don't do where it's Simply Green cleaning. I would start whatever, again, just like everyone else, pick a niche and then start a company that's called that niche, and I would have them totally separate. I don't know that I'd have, because again, if I go to your website, you know, if you came to my website and I'm like, hey, if you want to grow your cleaning company, I can help you. Or if you want to open a restaurant, we do that. Like, come on in. I can, oh, and by the way, car dealers, I help you too. Like, you're like, oh man, I thought this guy was like up my alley. Same thing. So when they come to your restaurant, or go to your restaurant, man, I gotta stop drinking before I go on air. When they come to your website and you go, hey, we do residential, we're awesome at it. Also, if you happen to have a law office, give us the keys. We'll give that a swing. Like, you don't want that. You want it to be very, this is the commercial and this is the residential. And you'll find generally the employees are split as well. Most folks aren't going to want to be like, yeah, I'll work Tuesday at 8 a.m. and then Thursday at 5 p.m. and then Sunday. Like, they don't like that. So you'll kind of have your commercial shift and your residential shift. So if you are going to start it, I would, again, I'd sell the company and then start a commercial. If you refuse to do that, I would get the first company on autopilot and then start a new company with your new time. You won't have the money because it's still in the company, but at least you have time. If you refuse to do that, want to do both at the same time, I'd say get another coach. I can't help you.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, cool. I know I talked a lot, but did I answer your question? Did I get everything you need?
Yeah, no, that was perfect.
All right, cool. Well, then I will take a breath for 9 seconds and give you and the audience a break from my yammering and let you talk for a little bit in the lightning round. I'm going to give you 3 quick questions. Same question I asked all the guests. Can't wait to hear your answer. Question number 1, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received other than the drops of gold I just laid on you? Obviously, that's the right answer, but you know, aside from that.
I would say just to learn from people who've done what you want to do. You know, if you want to be an NFL player, you talk to NFL players who are currently or have been playing. If you want to sell a multi-million dollar commercial company, then talk to Mike. You know what I'm saying? You get advice from people who've done what you wanted to do.
Thank you for saying that. Hopefully I will get less people trying to get me to get them into the NFL because I'm so sick of it. I don't know. I can't do it. Listen to Avery. Right. Just stop calling me. I don't do that. So thank you. I appreciate you hooking me up there with that. Actually, honestly, good advice. I never get why people don't want to do that. I was always, when I started my cleaning company in the 90s, early 90s, it was really before the internet had taken hold. And I would have given my left arm to have somebody that knew what they were doing would help me. Oh my good Lord, that would have changed my life. So in this day and age of transparency and internet, there's just no reason not to go, well, hey, instead of spending 20 years and hundreds of thousands of dollars making these mistakes, why don't I find someone that's already done that and I'll have that person help me make at least different, better mistakes for crying out loud. All right, great feedback, brother. Speaking of mistakes, what's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business so the rest of us numbskulls can learn from you?
I would say just not, you know, learn to delegate sooner.
Preach.
And I would say pricing is probably a thing that held us back. One of the bigger mistakes is...
Charge too much?
Not charging enough.
Sorry, I was being so sarcastic because every third guest says the same thing. So I appreciate Avery like, no, he's trying to help me out and save me. No, not too much, dummy, too little.
Right. Yeah. So, just not charging enough. I think a lot of, you know, people who jump into business for themselves or entrepreneurs, they just, you know, maybe the self-image isn't there, the confidence isn't there. And so they, you know, they underbid it. And I just think that people could be charging more. So that was a mistake that we made definitely in the beginning for sure.
And to tag on, because we get that all the time. There is an excuse for doing that when you start. You're new and you're learning and that's fine. There is no excuse for being a year in and, well, I can't call Avery and ask him for more money. He'll punch me in the face. No, he won't. He'll either quit or more likely than not, he'll give you more money. So everyone listening, don't think this is about somebody else. It's not. It's about you right now. You are probably not charging enough. Go raise your prices. All right. Absolutely. One idea, something easy to implement that Clean Nation put into practice right now, as soon as this podcast ends, that they can put into practice that'll make their business or their lives just a little bit better.
Personal growth, man, books, reading audios, all that stuff I think is huge because it's more than, you know, just the technical side of the cleaning business, but you know, you got to learn to be a good leader. You got to have communication skills. And I think that you do that by reading and listening to podcasts or whatever, however you get your audio in. I think that's huge. So personal growth for sure.
Could not agree more. Not only could I not agree more, I think for the first time ever in the 200 and some episodes, plug my book. I have a book. I'm a Freaking Genius. Why Is This Business So Hard? You can get it on Amazon. And just so it's not a hard out plug, for the first 4 people, and I couldn't decide between 3 and 5, but Avery told me 4. I'm going for the first 4 people that email Natalie, Nat at growmycleaningcompany.com. She's our producer and says, Mike told me he would send me a free book. If I emailed him, I will sign and send you a free book. Now, Avery, awesome. Depending on how much integrity you have, you could cheat because we are recording this way before we release it. So if you send that email, you could be the first one because no one else is out there. So I'm going to see if Avery sends the email or not. But the first four, I will send you a copy of the book. If you have the book and love it, should be a good review on Amazon because you're awesome. Avery, thank you so much for joining us. I really dig your vibe. Thanks for sharing your passion, your desire to grow. I appreciate you. I know Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out Avery's show notes page and everything you need to grow your cleaning company, it's all at growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies as well as industry experts can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.